Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. We are attending to Russ Cosmos. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, Special Edition, because Russ Cosmos, the world's oldest and most successful manned space program, is in the course of changing over its ambition for the future. Heretofore, it's functioned very nicely as a bus service for the NASA that had no way to get to and from the ISS. It has ambitions, however, to build new modules, new rockets, and these ambitions are laid out over many years, and we'll attend them. But first is a headline that was surprising to me, but very logical. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, is here to comment on this as well. The headline was that Roscosmos, the world's oldest, most successful manned space program, is partnering with the new guy on the block. That would be the People's Republic of China. And the partnership is about building a moon base, a manned moon base, at the South Pole. Anatoly, I was struck by the logic of it, but at the same time, took my breath away. What does this mean for Roscosmos? What do you make of this plan for a joint Russian-Chinese space colony?
Right, John. So this is an interesting kind of, again, situation. As always in history, it has kind of two sides to it. First of all, I remember back in 1989 when Gorbachev went to China, this very famous and fateful visit. And I think one of the things which came out from that visit was that, oh, we're now going to have a joint space program between China and Soviet Union. And, of course, 32 years later, we have nothing. And in between, there were a number of documents which were signed between Roscosmos, between Russian government and Chinese government about all kinds of pronouncements related to space. There was supposed to be navigational system, satellite navigation system. There were scientific cooperation. All those things in the past 30 years came out to nothing. And suddenly, we have disagreement about no less than lunar base without a single Chinese cosmonaut flying on a Russian spacecraft, without a single Russian flying on a Chinese spacecraft. So I would say this agreement is interesting, but let's see how it works. And they kind of starting very large without any intermediate small steps, which would demonstrate that such kind of cooperation really possible. So I'm a little bit kind of puzzled by the way it's all structured and the way it's kind of announced.
David?
Anatoly, do you possibly see this as a geopolitical response to the U.S. and some Western nations with Artemis and the Artemis Accords? Are they trying to respond to that, even if it's not, as you say, real yet, but at least it's a geopolitical statement for their sphere of influence?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe this is completely political statement, and it may be even the political statement contradicting the engineering and individual strategies of both countries. Because what we very often hear from engineers, and actually it's hard to say about Chinese because it's very secretive, but on the Russian side, we definitely see that there were a number of attempts made. And many of the Russian engineers who are working in this and were interacting with Chinese, they're absolutely convinced that Chinese space program is kind of going along program politically. It has a political kind of doctrine of doing everything independently. So with Russian technology really kind of struggling to go even in the direction of the moon, let alone to build a base, it's hard to kind of imagine what kind of Russian technology would be considered reliable by the Chinese, because of course cooperation always normally relies on that both sides provide equal solutions and equal technical expertise, which kind of complement each other. And at this point, it's very hard to imagine where exactly the Russian capability lies, what Russians can actually offer to the Chinese that Chinese definitely don't have at this point.
Well, in the old days, Anatoly, in the old days, Russia had a great reputation for building solid space vehicles, very solid space vehicles, and reliable boosters. That's something that the U.S. has come and gone about, and even China now and again rains boosters on its own people. So I would say that Russia at its best is the service you'd trust to and from the moon.
Yes. Well, the Soviet Union launched the last lunar mission in 1976. Russia launched exactly after the fall of the Soviet Union, launched exactly zero spacecraft toward the moon. At the same time, Chinese, of course, put a rover. They put a rover on a dark, far side of the moon. And so yes, the rocket technology is definitely Chinese are catching up. In fact, they recently launched the rocket, which is more powerful than anything that Russians have. But they're still kind of in that development phase where technology needs to mature. But when you have cooperation between countries, I don't think you can rely on something which can mature in the future. You need something which is already working, and you kind of adapt it for the new goals, exactly like it was done, let's say, on the International Space Station, where the American Freedom Program and the Mir-2, which was under development at that time, they merged together and they formed that cooperation. On the Chinese lunar base, there is no lunar base on the Chinese side, but there is no lunar base on the Russian side at this point. So they will have to develop and adapt those technologies from scratch, from zero essentially, to all the way to the lunar base. And of course, before the lunar base, they need to put the robotic landers. They need to fly around the moon. So it's many, many steps which have to be taken in coordination between Russia and Chinese. And so far, we haven't seen in the history of Chinese-Russian cooperation, we saw none of those.
David, you speak to a wide range of people involved in consulting with manned space program. Is your understanding that the Russian and Chinese announcement was a bridge too far? I'm generalizing. Or is this capability seen as a challenge to the U.S. and its allies? We have a couple of minutes, David.
I don't think they see it as a bridge too far. A lot of people do see it as a challenge to the United States and the West, by specifically China more so than Russia, because we do participate in space with Russia already. I think that a lot of people on this side believe that China does make good on their goals, and they keep fairly tight to their timelines, and they are on the dark side of the moon, the back side of the moon. They have landed. They're off at Mars. So it's not fair to underestimate Chinese technology or engineering like they used to do, although there clearly are issues with some of the Long March rockets. So I think that a lot of people welcome it because they think the more the merrier, the more competition, the merrier. Others are a little bit concerned about the politics and what this may mean national security-wise. Why is all this interest going to the moon all of a sudden? What does it mean for resources, for economies? Who's going to control this? Who's going to control that? I think there are a lot of unsettled issues about that. So they kind of see it maybe with open eyes, but don't know what to think. And I would ask Anatoly, they do have a signed memorandum of understanding. Is there any money being invested in this by either side? Has either side started funding anything or jointly funding anything?
We have a minute, Anatoly.
Right. From what I hear from the industry at the engineering level, there was a number of very initial studies which were made in the previous, let's say, 3-5 years, which looked at the possibility of joint cooperation between Russia and China. And beyond that, those very initial paper studies, there are no indication that any kind of agreement or any kind of hardware development was taking place.
Anatoly, was this big news back in Moscow? And were people debating this about going to the moon with China? We have 30 seconds.
Yes, exactly. So the political at the political level, it worked really great. It produced really sort of almost like a nationalistic fervor, both in Russia and Beijing. So politically, it was a great success. At the cutting metal level, it's absolutely zero. There is nothing.
Anatoly Zak, the website is RussianSpaceWeb.com. It's a subscription site. It's a modest subscription, but you will stay well informed of the world's oldest and most successful manned space program, Roscosmos. Manned space, yes. Better than NASA, better than China. Manned space. David Livingston, he is Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars Episode N, and I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.